on Christmas Eve, 1975, Tommy Ziegler was a furniture store owner in Winter Garden, Florida, which is in Central Florida, and he was delivering Christmas presents, and his wife and in-laws were going to the store to pick up a Lazy Boy. He says he arrived at the store, somebody hit him over the head, he was shot, and he was a victim of a robbery. Police came in and quickly determined that he was the killer and lured three black men into the store to make them seem like the robbers.
Now, there's some heavy racial overtones throughout this whole thing, right? Which I guess was par for the course, unfortunately, back in the 70s in Central Florida, right?
Yes. This is sort of the transitional period from, you know, the Jim Crow era to where we are now.
But in this case, the lead detective and the prosecutor took the word of the black man over this white business owner who was eventually convicted.
Yes. The detective had just been to a blood spatter school, and he learned about how blood dries, and he decided that Ziegler killed them because the blood had dried from his father-in-law. There was nobody who really witnessed the crime. It was circumstantial evidence, basically.
Why is it so difficult for somebody to just say, okay, you have blood in a kit that's been sitting in some kind of warehouse for 40 years. Why can't we just go test that for DNA? Why isn't it that simple?
It's because of the courts and because of the way the DNA statute is written. The inmate has to show how the evidence would likely exonerate him. And that is where the judges decide this evidence won't exonerate him, so therefore we won't let it take place. But what the executive director of the Florida Innocence Project says, DNA evidence can transform our understanding of the evidence. It can completely change the evidence. What I found also was that courts would grant maybe a test early on, say in 2000 or 2001, when DNA was in its earliest use, and the person would get the testing, but it would be inconclusive, or it would show something, but it wouldn't quite show everything. And that's what happened in Tommy Ziegler's case. What experts tell me is that touch DNA, which is what everybody's trying to do now, can really tell you who participated in a crime.
Tell me about the touch DNA and how that differs from standard DNA testing.
20 years ago, you would be able to take somebody's blood and decide whether they were there or not. But now you can take somebody's skin cells and you can determine if they touched somebody or if they had a fight. You can look under their fingernails. And what experts tell me is that you can actually determine if somebody was a participant in a crime, not just if they were there.
Plus, another con to reopening these old wounds is that the victims' families, they probably don't want to be dragged through those again.
Right. A lot of these men have had countless appeals. Victims don't feel it's fair to give them yet another appeal, and that's understandable, but a lot of people think that you should allow testing, and we need to get at the truth.
Leonora, do you think that we're eventually going to find out the truth in this particular case?
I think that the courts are kind of closed to him. He's been rejected DNA testing 6 times, so it's going to have to be either a change to the statute on DNA testing or something with the governor. I don't know.
He's got a pretty even chance of passing away in prison, it sounds like.
Yes, he does.
Leonora LePeter Anton is a reporter with the Tampa Bay Times. Her series Blood and Truth runs through this Friday. Thanks so much for your help, Leonora.
Thank you for having me.